at 6:22. This is KERA News. I'm Justin Martin. The tiny town of Moran, Texas is in the national spotlight. Moran, a couple of hours west of Fort Worth, is where the bump stock device is made. Bump stocks allow semi-automatic rifles to perform more like fully automatic weapons. During the Las Vegas mass shooting, a gunman apparently used a bump stock, but it's not known whether he used one made in Moran. KERA's Christopher Connolly traveled to Moran to see if he could talk with Jeremiah Cottle, who runs Slide Fire Solutions, the company behind the bump stocks.
The company is in a big, tan, corrugated metal building with a big sign that says Slide Fire right up front. It's surrounded by barbed wire and countryside just past the town cemetery, about a mile down the farm road from the town. And I knocked on the door. I tried calling, but their voicemail is out of space. Nobody answered the door. I did see one guy as he was coming into work and asked him if he might talk with me, and he said no. He also said Mr. Cottle isn't interested in talking either. Jeremiah Cottle is an Air Force veteran who sunk his savings into creating a high-end bump stock, according to an interview with the Albany News in 2011. He sold more than 35,000 units in his first year, making over $10 million. Down the road from the company, County Commissioner Lanham Martin says Slide Fire has been a boon for Moran, adding jobs and people to the tiny town of about 270 residents. Martin has known the Cottle family for a long time.
I know in my heart that Jeremiah is sick over it. Sick that something that he put so much time and effort in was misused in the way that it was used.
Now, Walmart and Cabela's have pulled the devices from their websites. Congressional leaders from both parties are talking about banning bump stocks, and the National Rifle Association said they'd be open to stricter regulations on them. Martin is opposed to that.
I just think the whole idea of attacking a product or the person that produced that product is ridiculous. It's senseless. We don't hear about planes being banned after 911, and they were the direct cause of all the carnage.
Critics of bump stocks, though, say the device circumvents the strict regulations on automatic weapons. But in 2010, federal authorities gave Slide Fire the okay to sell the device. Now the company has suspended orders because it can't keep up with the overwhelming demand for bump stocks since the Las Vegas shooting. Reporting in Moran, Texas, Christopher Connolly, KERA News.
Dan Brown is the creative mind behind The Da Vinci Code, Angels and Demons, and Inferno. And now the fictional Harvard professor Robert Langdon is back at Brown's new thriller, Origin. It's set in Spain, where the action and mystery unfold around some of the world's strangest works of architecture. Today on Think, Brown talked with Chris Boyd about the ways his work explores the relationship between religion and science.
The one question that for all of us, I don't care whether we are deeply religious or not religious at all, the one question that makes us think about God is what happens when we die. When we lose people that we love, when we get toward the ends of our own lives, we just start to wonder. And a lot of us will turn to religion because religions all promise an afterlife. And we just desperately want to believe that. It gives us some control over death. Science does the same thing in an entirely different way, telling you that, you know, that essentially when you die, all of your thoughts and dreams evaporate. So in some ways, you can understand why we gravitate toward religion when we're asking big, big questions. And one thing this book really gets at is this question of whether or not God will survive science. Because historically, gods don't survive science. You know, there was a time when we worshipped, Poseidon, because we understood that Poseidon, his moods affected the tides of the ocean. Well, eventually science stepped in and said, actually, it has more to do with gravity and the moon, and Poseidon was banished. And if you look at the enormous pantheon of gods that the ancients had, all of them have fallen. And so the question is, are we naive to think that our gods of today won't suffer the same fate? Historically, on the continuum, they will. So the question is, how, when, and what's next?
Dan Brown speaks tonight at 7:30 at SMU as part of DMA's Arts and Letters Live. This episode of Think airs tonight at 9, and you can subscribe to the podcast at think.kera.org. In Samantha Mabry's new novel, a young couple struggles to survive as traveling farm workers in a post-apocalyptic world. Today, in our State of the Arts conversation, the El Centro College English instructor sat down with Ann Bothwell, KERA's Vice President of Arts, to talk about writing fiction for young adults.
Samantha Mabry, welcome to KERA.
Thanks for having me.
All the Wind in the World is set in the near future, and it's a pretty bleak time. Can you sort of set the scene for us?
It's set mostly on a fictitious ranch called the Real Marvelous in a real town called Valentine, Texas. And Valentine is about dead center between Marfa and El Paso. The principal crop of the Southwest now is maguey, which is the cactus that you harvest to make mezcal. Essentially, migrant workers go to these fields and do harvest work.
This is the near future. Mm. Something has obviously happened.
I haven't really named it. This is just a gradual, unnamed environmental collapse that has caused water to get too salty. Most people are not where the novel is set. You get a sense, like most people are elsewhere, but there's this group of hardscrabble people who have found work in this industry.
What did inspire this book?
Probably most of all, the place. My husband and I are teachers, and so we have summers off, and we're able to spend a month in Marfa every summer. And I think it's a beautiful place that also has a hint of danger to it. You know, there's burn bans out there. One time I went on a very short walk and then came back with a heat rash, like all over my arms. You know, it's like I love this sense of beauty mixed with danger and peril. And then it was also inspired a lot by that Terrence Malick film, Days of Heaven, where it's also a story about sort of a young couple and migrant workers. I love that movie very much and was trying to take a kernel of that, place it somewhere that I felt I knew I could write about and I knew had a lot of character itself, and then take it in different directions.
Do you feel like a Texas writer, or is that a label that isn't comfortable?
I've never thought about it. Someone asked me recently, like, where did you grow up and did that influence your writing? And I was like, Dallas? I don't know. You know, I don't know if Dallas did. I'm really concerned with setting. Like, I really love setting. And I feel like I have to be familiar enough with the place. And I really take a lot of care in trying to capture it well. And so if I'm able to capture Texas well, and someone wants to call me a Texas writer, then I will take it.
Your novels include really adult situations, and they're marketed to young adults. Is there a line you can't cross?
The only thing that I get really asked to do is to edit for word choice. Like, my editor will say, like, teens do not use the word blouse. You know? They just talk about their shirts. So sometimes I will get comments that just say, edit for voice. And then I'll remember, like, I have to use maybe a slightly less obscure-ish word or think more in line with what the character would say.
You've had two novels now that have been really well received. That's very successful for a writer. Has it changed your life in any way?
I've been able to travel and meet people and talk to people, and that has really been really rewarding. I mean, other than that, just sort of on a day-to-day basis, I'm still teaching English, but at least I get to say that I did it. Like, my husband tries to remind me of this all the time. He was like, everybody says they're going to write a book, and you wrote a book, and then it was published. You know, like, and I was like, yes.
It's a huge accomplishment.
Yeah.
But you're not quitting your day job.
Not yet.
Samantha Mabry, thank you so much.
Thank you.
There's a launch party for All the Wind in the World at Interabang Books in Dallas on Wednesday night. Learn more at artandsteve.org. where you can listen to Samantha Mabry read from her novel. Should be partly cloudy skies in store for us later tonight, with a low around 70. Tomorrow brings in mostly sunny weather with high near 91. It's 6:30. This is KERA News.